So why do you think women should get into real estate, like single women? Like buy real estate?
Well, I think that, well, no, I mean, now the conversation's more open. I think women are starting to become more empowered in their real estate ventures. But like, we all grew up being told like, oh, you buy a house once you get married. But I think women should get involved in real estate just like men should get involved in real estate. I think everyone should get involved in real estate. But women need to stop thinking in that like, oh, I need a partner to do this, and maybe switch the avenue of their thinking. And maybe you do, because you're just starting out in your career, need a partner. But that partner doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It can be your best friend, your cousin, your, you know, somebody else. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real, real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Welcome to Under All is the Land, Season 3, Episode 9. I am your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
It's going.
It's definitely going.
What's happening? How is your world reacting to the Fed meeting that happened a couple days ago?
I honestly haven't heard much conversation about it at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
I have no one bringing it up to me.
Interesting.
No. Do you?
Nobody's bringing it up. But I've gotten conflicting messages from lenders regarding the impact on the rates. So I'm getting some messages saying the rates went down and some messages saying the rates went up. So I'm not really sure what's going on. I need to make a few phone calls probably. But I will say on like some of the listings that the showings have slowed down. Like there's like a lull all of a sudden. So I wonder if it's this financial uncertainty finding its way.
That's true.
But then, you know, I talked to other Acme agents who have listings in like Northeast LA and they're just like, still it's on fire. So
I can tell you as someone who's competing on listings across like Northeast LA and in South LA, it seems crazy all around just dependent on how you price. Like, you know, like I just competed on one in Baldwin Hills, clearly underpriced, though not substantially. I wouldn't say it was crazy underpriced, but definitely underpriced for what it was. And they had 13 offers.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, 13 offers. Not a flip. It
was what was the price point?
It was a fixer. $999.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's probably the price point. Because
it wasn't a fixer, though. It's like you could move into it, but it had carpet in places.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the carpet was clean.
So like a cosmetic fixer.
A fixer.
Yeah, but if you tear up the carpet, there are beautiful floors. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like that kind of thing. But yeah.
Something that needs work. No, I mean, I just had one, too, that was only on the market for 9 days, and we had 5 offers. But we were also competitively priced.
Yeah.
And then we have the other listings that are
Yeah, I mean, all of my
priced.
Listings that are, like, a little bit more quiet right now are the ones that are on the higher end.
Yep.
But, to be fair, they're, like, higher quality product, you know? So, I don't know. Well, I guess we just kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
Like the rest of America.
Yeah.
Well, you know, today we are talking about home ownership as a path to financial stability and financial independence, which, as you know, is a love affair of mine and something that I feel like I can speak on because I didn't really have any financial training growing up and didn't really understand how money worked and how houses worked and leveraging and income properties and investments and all that stuff. But when I did start figuring it out, I wrote Break Up With Your Rental, which I know you guys have both read.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys out there haven't read Break Up With Your Rental, you need to read Break Up With Your Rental. It's a very simple to understand book, but it kind of showcases all the different ways to not make excuses for yourself and get in the market and utilize the opportunities the real estate market has and your talents to be able to make your money make money in a real way. So our guest today is a past client of mine who actually produced my TV show on FYI called My City's Just Not That Into Me. And one of my favorite people in the whole entire world and a success story from Break Up With Your Rental, Jessica Bertulis.
Ooh.
It's so good to see you and have you here at Under All is the Land.
Thank you for having me.
If you guys don't know, Jessica makes magic behind the scenes at many reality television shows that you know and love. She was in the publishing world, right? Before you got into reality television, into television. You've been in LA for 20 years. When I met her, she was renting an apartment. Now she is a homeowner.
Yes.
Some of the reality shows that she's worked on include Toddlers and Tiaras. Yep. And you are famous for that one because you discovered the special talents of...
I didn't discover them. I gave them TV birth. But okay. Yes, Honey Boo Boo and Mama June and that whole crew. Yeah.
She's responsible for that.
Yay. Yeah, I was their first producer.
I'm curious, what do you think about all the things that have been going on with Honey Boo Boo lately?
I mean, I always say, like, you know, let your freak flag fly and, you know, just be you and do your thing. And, you know, I'm here to just document these things along the way and tell stories and different cultures and different worlds. And I think that's what is fun about what I get to do, is I get to go into all these different worlds and subcultures and meet people like Courtney along the way, who changed your life forever.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, she does that, actually.
Do you remember how we met?
Yeah. Do you remember how we met?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I had a Better Shelter listing in Studio City that was across from the park. Do you remember that one? It had like a shared driveway. And I got a phone call. I mean, it was like a rare Studio City Better Shelter listing. And I got a phone call. This was the first meeting, right?
Yeah.
That somebody wanted to use the house for a shot for a show. What show was that? VH1? It was a VH1 show. It was a Fiancé's, maybe. And they were house shopping, maybe.
Yep.
And I hosted did the tour and da da da.
She was our on camera real estate agent.
Yes.
Ooh.
For some VH1 show. And then a few weeks later, I got a call. Maybe a few weeks, maybe it was months. A few months later, probably.
Well, I was obsessed with Courtney immediately. I was like, she's really good on camera. And I was like, and you kind of look like Madonna. And I was like, she had this fun, short, funky hair at the time. And I was like, she's such an, like,
present. Whole package. She just a whole package.
So I was really drawn to her initially. So then.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. So then, I think you had nothing. I don't know if you had anything to do with My City, but
I
got a call a few months later saying they wanted to do a screen test for me for a show that already had gotten sold. And then come to find out that Jessica was doing the show running on that one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we ended up working together.
Basically, I jumped in on it, and they had a few people in the mix as possible hosts.
Like, I beat out a bachelorette.
And I was like, actually, you guys should meet Courtney. And that's when I sent you your information to Melissa, the owner of the company. And then she ended up bringing you in, doing an interview. And then Courtney ended up nailing the job.
Yeah, I did. I mean, the show was so fun because I got to hang out with you. And we traveled around the country meeting people who had some interesting stories, to be honest. And they were considering living in other places. And we had that whole conversation. But, you know, got a little muddy with the, you know, production versus network thing.
Yeah.
Which is like a thing that happens
in TV,
right? I think
that show was really cool. I think it was a little ahead of its time, though. I think people weren't quite there yet, and I think that network was figuring out what it was, and it wasn't it ended up not going in that direction.
Yeah, it went like a glorified House Hunters direction, which it should have gone in a more stories, in my opinion. Like, a lot of stuff
more
got left on
the... I think would have been...
on the cutting room floor.
Better.
There were some good moments.
Always. There That's always it in production.
Well, my favorite moment was when I asked, her name is Nicole. She was a lawyer. We were in D.C. And I'm like, why don't you own? She's like, well, I'm waiting to meet a guy.
Oh.
And, you know, she's paying like $7,000 a month in rent or something. Like,
something
what?
Crazy for a one bedroom.
Yeah.
We were like,
crazy.
What?
And she said, you know, if I go out with a guy and I don't like him, like, on the first date, then I'll never go out with him again. And I'm like, how's that working out for you? You know?
Yeah.
I have no idea what her life looks like now, by the way, but it was part of that and the conversations with you about you getting out of that apartment are what inspired Breakup With Your Rental.
Yes.
So
yes.
Jessica was there for that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, because I think working with you, obviously, like, you have such a different mindset about real estate than I ever had. And growing up in a like Midwestern, like blue collar family, it was like, you know, you're kind of told, like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you do it, you know, X, Y, Z. No one was like, you know what? You're in your 20s. You're making good money. Go buy a house. Like, that was never even on my radar. No one teaches you that.
Right.
And so Courtney was like, why are you renting? Why are you renting? And I thought, like, I mean, I was very stubborn.
You were.
Very stubborn. But I was like, I have a rent-controlled apartment in the Hollywood Hills, and it's amazing, and I'm traveling the world, and I'm doing all these cool things, and I don't have to even think about anything because it's I can pay my rent, like sneeze and pay my rent, and it's no big deal. And then you would always be like, but what are you getting out of it?
Right. I mean,
what are you getting out of this rent? You're paying somebody else's mortgage. And then she just kept beating my thick skull with this information in different ways, and then finally it sunk in, and I was like, really, what is this doing for me in my future?
And so you did end up buying a house. So she ended up buying a house, and has appreciated pretty dramatically. How much do you think it's appreciated?
Almost double
in value. In like 4 years?
Six years. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, so I bought 6 years ago, and after we worked together, it took me about 2 years to like really get into a house. But I think when you change your mindset about things and you shift your perspective about it, like that's all I had to do was change my thinking about it and go, you know what? No, I actually can own a house. It's not going to be in Beechwood Canyon where I'm currently living. And right. That was the thing. I was such a little Hollywood bitch. I was like, I'm not going to leave. Never leaving my neighborhood. This is the best neighborhood ever. I can walk everywhere. Parking, my rent's $1,000 a month. Oh, I'm never leaving here. And then I start thinking about it, and I'm like, that's kind of depressing. Like, maybe I should start thinking outside the box a little.
It does something to you, right? Owning a house. What? How do you feel like it's changed your mental?
Well, okay, so going back to the Hollywood thing and not, like, hunkering down, and I think people do this a lot in L.A. and bigger cities. It's like you fall in love with your neighborhood and the lifestyle you think that neighborhood's providing for you. So I know a lot of beach people are like that. All my beach friends are like, no, I'm never buying a house because I'm living by the beach and I'm blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, and the way you broke me down with that argument was you're like, okay, cool. Well, you can move from Hollywood, go live somewhere for 2 or 3 years, and then you're going to build equity in your house that you own, and you can go back and you'll have equity to go buy your house that you want in the hills, which I could go do now. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to.
Right.
Because you introduced me to a neighborhood that I love, that now I'm not a Hollywood bitch.
Always at heart. You'll always be one deep down.
Yeah. Now I'm like, I love my neighborhood. I would never leave it. I'm right by downtown and I have a whole new lifestyle. And then I realize I can get anywhere in the city quicker than I could have ever gotten from Hollywood. So it just opened up my whole perspective. And it was, of course, you again going, why don't you look at this neighborhood? Why don't you look at this area and like expand your, you know, thoughts about it and stop being so stubborn again? And so,
well, I'm flattered, but you weren't as bad as you're making it sound. You were like, okay.
I feel like I'm like the person that you need to like bang over the head with a bat.
I mean, listen,
you know?
You were stubborn about renting. You seem to be really committed to renting. Do you guys have clients like that? They seem to be committed to renting.
Mm-hmm.
Committed. It's just like, They dance with the idea, but they never really commit to the process, you know? I have clients who really want to just look. They just seem addicted to searching. They don't write winning offers. They just love hunting. They just don't really want to make the commitment to buying.
You get scared.
Yeah.
You get scared because you're like, this is the world I know. This is the world I'm comfortable with. This is like, I know I can do this. And then this is where I think I'm a big firm believer in like law of attraction and all of like expansive mindset, whatever. And buying a home really like opened that up for me in a way that I never even imagined possible. And it was by starting to open up my mentality about it and going like, okay, well, you know what? You got to take the risk. You got to jump in. You got to try something new. And, you know, once you set the intention, everything starts to kind of work in your direction to help you get there.
Yeah, that's another thing we tell our clients all the time. It's like, you can be afraid about this, but you'll realize you're going to be able to pay your mortgage just like you paid your rent.
Exactly.
And now with an extra week or week and a half to do it without it being late, and it will be fine. Like, you can handle all of this.
Yeah. It's
all
handleable. It's
amazing
how everything just shifts. And like, my lifestyle didn't change that much either at all. Actually, it didn't change. Let me say that again. My lifestyle did not change at all after I bought a house.
Right.
Because I was able to still go do all the things I wanted to do. Go have the dinners, go have the drinks,
buy
go
Madonna
travel,
tickets.
Buy Madonna tickets. Like, do all the things that I like was like, I don't want to sacrifice my life for a house.
Right.
And so, and you know, then you start making more money at work and like things start opening up because you've expanded your space. And I'm really into feng shui as well, but like when you have a space that's yours and like putting it together and cultivating that and like thoughtfully every day, like putting your intention into something that's yours that feels good and upgrading it, it's like, I mean, I can't, it's like right. next level
these
shit.
These are the non-quantifiable benefits of owning real estate. Like you get to feel to like, this is mine, you know? So
there's no like,
I can make this special. I can change it if I want. I can move things around. I can do a whole revamp. I can, whatever. It has creative possibilities.
On so many levels. And I've inspired so many of my friends, like close friends, colleagues, people that I work with, whatever, to buy houses as well. Because again, nobody's telling you these things. And like, you can get creative about how you do it too. And I think that one of the biggest things I would have changed, like one of the questions was like, what would you do differently? What I would do differently is I would have bought in my 20s.
Right, way sooner.
But I would have bought with a friend. So I would have like linked up with a best friend and bought a property together in my 20s and just started that way. And then, and I'm, so I'm telling all my younger friends that are in their 20s.
Yep, bye now.
Get with your friends. Like even if you do two or three friends, whatever you have to do, get like buy collectively. Buy a 3-bedroom house with 3 people. Like, and then keep it. And then if you want to move on with your life, because I think people start getting like, oh, I'm going to get married and then I'm going to do this. And it's like, don't even think about that. Think about right now, what's my best financial decision for me and my future? And that's like, that's how I would have shifted myself now if I went back in it. But I wouldn't change it.
So you would have taken my advice 2 years sooner.
I would have taken your advice. Yeah, exactly. I
charge interest on those 2 years. Okay, so I have a very important, pressing, timely question to ask you. What are your favorite reality real estate television shows right now?
Well,
are you watching any?
Up
to speed?
One of my good friends is the DP of Selling Sunset, so I have to say that one.
Are you watching it?
No.
No, but you're not watching it, so you can't say that one. It does not count, guys. That doesn't count. Are you? Do you watch reality television?
No.
Oh my god!
I make it. Ooh, okay, I don't have time to watch it.
I don't watch real estate reality TV either very much. I much prefer the like 90 Day Fiance and
dating shows.
I'm
with you on the like. I like a little sloppy drama.
Yeah, sloppy drama is good. I can't watch What I Live either.
Exactly.
And sort of, even though it's some
I
weird version
I sit there and start picking everything apart, and I'm like, oh, like I get a little too like critical, and it's hard for me to be in the moment. So I do a lot of scripted stuff.
What show are you working on right now?
I'm working on a show that hasn't been announced yet.
Okay, gotcha. What did you just finish?
I just did the Oscars. I
worked. Did the Oscars. You've been doing that for a long time. What do you do with that?
13 years. I work with the Academy's publicity team and the media. And so it's not a production job really.
Okay.
But,
who's your favorite famous person you've ever met?
Oh gosh. I mean,
besides me, just kidding.
Do you meet all of them?
What's that?
When the Oscars are, do you meet all of them?
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of like in this like sort of vortex, right? Of like energy and people are coming and going and you know, different assignments and things where you cross paths with people and it's just a wild experience.
Did you have any like weird experience where you like spilled a drink on somebody or like accidentally tripped over like Clint Eastwood or something?
No, I don't know. Thankfully.
Fell into Brad Pitt's lap. How did that happen?
You ever been hit on by a celebrity? Give us some scoop. I want scoop.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
What do you mean allowed to? Did you sign an NDA?
I always do.
Regarding what?
Everything. I mean, we always...
Every single thing.
Everything in my life.
Everybody, like, it's like everything's locked down, you know?
I think you can say if you tripped over somebody's foot.
I haven't done that. I'm, like, so perfect all the time. No, I did have a cool... run in with Lady Gaga 1 year and it was the year she had that beautiful Tiffany diamond that Audrey Hepburn had worn. And, you know, she was just absolutely lovely. And, you know, when you see somebody on camera or you, you know, whatever, there's a certain energy you get from them. But when you meet them in person, it's so different. And, like, she's lovely. Real. Yeah.
I met her before, too. Nikos and I were at Sunset Marquee, where I used to be a member, a pool member. Mm-hmm. And I got pissed because there was a dog in the pool. And I'm like, I don't pay, like, money to come here because, you know, they have people with their dogs in the pool. And the waiter's like, it's Lady Gaga's dog. And I was like,
oh, her dog could be.
Okay, well, I guess.
Oh, let me get this little guy over.
No, I did not.
Did you kidnap him? Were you the kid?
No. But then Nikos, I don't remember. Nikos, I think, pet the dog. Nikos was like six or something. And it was when she was building a house. And so she was staying at the villas or something like that.
Okay.
And so anyway, she just talked to us for a little while and sat with us and let Nikos pet the dog and stuff. And she was really down to earth and super nice.
I always find that your hair is on your mic.
Your mama.
Can I fix it for you?
Are you fixing my crown?
Yeah, I'm going to. Sorry, the producer and me.
Okay.
Sorry.
See? This is just what it is.
Watching her work. Okay, if I were producing you for the show, I would say, okay, do that again, but give me more energy. I need juicier stories.
Set up straight. Yeah.
Okay? Give the people what they want now.
Give them some juice.
Yeah, give them some juice.
Some celebrity gossip. This is turning into quite a different show.
Well, what do you want it to be?
but you meet these different people, and I always find that the higher level celebrities tend to be the more
conservative,
down to earth.
Oh, down to earth. Interesting.
They're just more like they're like they've hit a stride in life, and they have an energy going for them, and they've got their like whatever law of attraction down, and they know how to create, and like they're good. They're like cruising through life.
Nothing
and,
like prove.
The doors are all opening for them, and they're like, oh, I want to do this, and then it opens up, you know. And so they're always great. Like, amazing. It's the ones when you got down in like the CD category, you know, where it's like
diva
they're
behavior.
Still trying to like find that path, and they're struggling and they're scrapping for it. And so there's like a different, like, usually they come from a more insecure place, and they haven't found that stride of like flowing with life.
I think
yet.
The same thing is true in real estate, actually. Like, I think there are agents who I always say are doing too much. They're like deal-killing agents. They're the ones who walk through and like try to be the main attraction instead of letting the client's instincts drive the transaction or support. They try to be the driving part of the transaction, to take the stage, you know?
Yeah.
And that always seems like young agent energy to me.
Yeah.
That old agents who have been through the ringer before are just like much more chill.
Yeah.
They're like,
exactly.
Nothing really rocks our boat.
Yeah.
Well, you feel that too. I think when you go, I go look at like open houses all the time. Because I just like.
You're an addict.
I am. I love it. But you can tell like when you walk in and like the agent comes up and they're like super aggressive and they like are like trying to get your phone number and you're like, I'm literally like, I live right over there. I have a house. Like, I'm just rolling in here to see what's going on. And I've got a bunch of friends looking for houses. So I'll pass your info on, you know? But it's like that aggressive, like.
It's like dating.
It is. It really is. I mean, that's what,
right.
Yeah, we talk about that.
That's the book.
Yeah.
You're just a little bit more chill. And then people think, what's happening there? She's so not interested.
Play hard to get and you'll get so much further. That's my advice to the
people,
to the new agents
to the people.
Of the world.
Play hard to get. Okay. Well, I think that we kind of, and I mean, we strike a balance because there is something to engaging with people at open houses, not so aggressively that they are put off by you. But, you know, we do have something valuable to offer, and a lot of people who walk into open houses don't know anything about anything, about the process, about the market, about real estate, about transactions, forms, what they're supposed to do, how much money they need, did they get qualified by a lender yet? Maybe not. Why are you walking into an open house if you haven't spoken with a lender yet? You know, so we can solve all those problems. It's annoying to me when I'm on the listing side and I meet a buyer who walks in the open house and is like, I'm not going to sign in, or I don't feel like it, or, you know, whatever. I'm like, no, no, no. That would probably this is be my party. You're going to sign in or go, you know? I make the rules here. Mm-hmm. Out of respect, too, because if something happens at the house and we need a witness list, God forbid, or something, you know, I want there to be accountability, you know?
Well, and I think that's the value in having an agent that knows what they're doing. And, like, I think that's another thing that I tell a lot of people is, like, understanding the value of your real estate agent. And that it's not just my cousin's best friend's mom just became a real estate agent, so I'm going to use her.
Right.
No, 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 no. No, don't use her. Because she doesn't know what the fuck she's doing yet.
Right.
Use somebody who has been through the ringer or has a team of advisors who have been through the ringer. Because, I mean, my story was crazy what happened.
Your story was crazy.
I mean,
do you know the story?
What happened? Tell us the story.
We put an offer in on the house, and the agent came. We put it in writing, escrow, all the things, right? We put in the amount, all the things what we were offering.
Yeah, we wrote an offer.
Over 20, yeah, we did 25 over.
So we call that.
We did 25 over. Anyways, and I was out of town when that happened. And so Neek actually went to the house and took a video of it, and we, because the listing photos were horrible. I don't know if you remember, but there were no interior photos.
Ah, okay.
It was awful, and it was like, so it was like kind of like, oh, I guess we'll check this one out because I've like exhausted every house in this area, and this is the only one I haven't seen, and maybe, you know, you never know. So Neek went and took the video and sent it, and then, and we ended up making an offer before even going to see it from the video because it was so good.
Right.
And we're like, oh my God, yes. So anyways, so then the real estate agent was like, well, come see it and then we'll, you know, move on from there. So then we went to go look at it and it was perfect. Everything was great. We were like, you know, some bad paint colors. We can change all of that. You know, this is easy breezy, which Courtney also taught me, like, good bones are everything. And then you can just change what you need to make it yours. And so I was able to see the potential of it. And I think that's really important too, mm-hmm. People understanding, like, just because it doesn't look picture ready, or if it's not a flip or whatever, like, that to me, that's the gold, is when you can find a space that hasn't been flipped and do it yourself and as you go and, like, make it what you want it to be. That was perfect for me, and I was up for that. I was up for that, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so then they ended up, such a weird story. Like, how does this even happen?
I can take it from here. Okay. So basically the agent said, you got the deal. And I was like, great, send me over the contract. And he didn't send it over. And he said, oh, I just dropped it in my in-house escrow's box. They gave me an escrow number and everything. They'll send you a copy of it tomorrow. That drives me nuts whenever agents send the completed offer to escrow before they send it to me. Mm. Because technically, our clients are supposed to have the contract. But the fact that the contract exists with the seller and the buyer signature on it, with two sets of signatures on it, means there is a contract. And it's been delivered to escrow. So anyway, when he didn't send it to me, I said, send me an email telling me that you've accepted our offer, the escrow number, and that it's going to be, you know, opened tomorrow, whatever. So we did. So I'm like, I don't have the contract yet, but it exists. So we got it. Next day, I don't get any contract from him. It's like midday. I call the agent. I'm like, yo, where's the contract? And he's like, oh, sorry. Remember I was telling you there was this other couple that was pursuing the property? Well, they went over to the property and they dropped an offer for 10 grand more than your clients offered. And the sellers want to take that offer. And I was like, no, we have a signed contract. And it exists with buyer and seller signature on it. And escrow has a copy of it. So you can't, and I have an email, which is like written, you know, acceptance. And so ultimately had to get the attorneys involved. And you guys were buying with a VA loan because your partner at the time is a veteran. And so, you know, so basically they were saying the reason why they wanted to go with the other offer is because it had a higher down payment. Because with VA loans, you don't have to have a down payment. But the laws are very favorable to non-discrimination against FHA and VA loans for their down payment minimums. So anyway, needless to say, our attorneys did their job and we ended up with the house. But it was like very one of those stressful, act fast moments.
It was, but yeah, that's where the value of your agent comes in, because a new agent wouldn't have known how to handle that, because that's not a situation that
a new agent would have
typically.
Said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Jessica, we got outbid."
Exactly.
And would have been that
and
would have
Courtney
been it.
Was like full pit bull mode. Like, yeah. Oh no way! We're going. She's like, "Call my lawyer," and like went for it. And I'm like, yeah. "That like." She paid for every dollar of whatever she made off of that property, and then I will send you everyone I know, because that was such a like huge moment, you know, of you
doing the thing,
showing up, paying attention, like yeah. not fucking around, and yeah. that's like what you do, and all your people, like yep. all of you guys are that way, and I know like you understand it's a competitive market, you need to be smart. You need to make your moves fast, and you need to know how to make the moves. And there's so much strategy involved, if you're smart, to this market, and you can get a house. And you, when you have a good team leading you yeah. to that house, you're going to get it. You're going to get a house eventually.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the perfect one for you. And it's like dating again, you know, it's like you eventually find the one, but you have to like, you know, kiss some frogs, as we say. Before you find
so
it.
So why do you think women should get into real estate, like single women? Like buy real estate?
Well, I think that, well, no, I mean, now the conversation's more open. I think women are starting to become more empowered in their real estate ventures. But like we all grew up being told like, oh, you buy a house once you get married. But I think women should get involved in real estate just like men should get involved in real estate. I think everyone should get involved in real estate. But women need to stop thinking in that like, oh, I need a partner to do this, and maybe switch the avenue of their thinking. And maybe you do, because you're just starting out in your career, need a partner. But that partner doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It can be your best friend, your cousin, your, you know, somebody else. So I think women and people, if you, you know, don't have the money yourself to do it, then join up and like get creative about it and just get into the market. Just get into the market as soon as you can. And mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how high it is. Because do you remember when we were trying to buy my house? I was like, this seems really high.
It always does. And it always feels like such a stretch, the first
It's like,
one
like it seems so high. It's so like, nobody else is like, this is like a really high offer. And you're like, trust me, it's going to be fine. You're like, it's
no one ever regrets buying the house.
Never.
Yeah. That's one thing I keep telling my clients when they have that moment. I'm like, you won't regret buying it. You'll regret not buying it.
So you are into like chakras and, you know, mm-hmm. spirituality and stuff. Have you done treatments all over your house?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
I feng shui the shit out of my house.
What do you do?
You walk in and it's like, you can feel it, like the energy, you know. I do a lot of like, you know, I use a lot of essential oils and different sages, and actually have a sage garden growing in the back now.
Ooh.
I don't think you've seen that yet.
I have not.
Yeah, I did a whole like wild garden, so it's all California natives, so it's drought friendly, and it used to be just an ugly slab of nothing and ugly dry. I don't know if you remember it, but it was just like a flat, ugly hillside, and now it's like this
lush.
Little like. California garden oasis, yeah. And it's wild and
so you
big
grow
and,
your own sage.
Oh yeah,
and burn your own sage.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Mm-hmm. And white sage is like, you know, I mean it's all California, you know, plants that are here, but white sage is like on an endangered list or whatever. Oh. So now I've got my own.
Okay.
Growing my own. I have a compost back there. I compost all my own.
Do you have feng shui also like? Is it when you like the way your house is furnished?
So there's like different baguas and like how like so
bagua
the bagua it's like a
do tell.
So like when you're feng shuiing a place, there's 9 different sections that you lay over your home. So there's like, you know, relationships, there's
money,
career,
right? Money is one of
yeah
them.
Career, you know,
health is health
people,
one
travel health is the center of it all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you lay that over your home, and then based on that is where I'll place certain things. So I'm like, oh, this is in the career part of my home, so I'm going to use, you know, this color and this thing, and then it put it in that space to invoke that. And a lot of it's like, you see that thing, like, you know, say it's a poster, like, or a piece of art or something like that, and you put it there with the intention of like, this is going to help my career. And then every time you see it, you're like, that helps my career. So it's like also part of your mentality of how you're placing thoughtfully.
It's like a vision board almost, a little bit.
Exactly. I love that. That's easy to kind of understand it, but it's like using your space as like a vision board of your intentions. And like, I have a lot of crystals and stuff like that. So I have different ones that I'm like, oh, this one goes in the prosperity corner because it's all about abundance. And this one goes, you know, in the health because it's all about health and wellness. And so it's using your space to thoughtfully put everything. So everything has in my home has a story. It has a place and usually a reason why it's there. Mm-hmm. When you come in and you're like, why is this random thing here? Like,
well, let me tell you,
that's in my creativity corner.
It's a nice icebreaker.
Yeah.
Do you have pets?
I do.
Cute.
I do. Okay. My dog.
They're happy
awesome.
in your home too.
Yeah, she's part of the feng shui.
There you go.
What corner do you put her in?
All of them. She's like everywhere. All the pillows are hers. She's like, yeah. I don't care how much this pillow costs. It's my bed now. She's got free reign of the house.
I think I'll call this episode like I bought a house and I survived. You know. Because I think a lot of people are terrified still, even though all the information's out there, break up with your rentals out there. Like, we have agents who are able to explain this stuff. Everybody's been proven that, you know, it's been proven visibly that you can make some money on this, but people are still afraid.
They're still afraid.
So I'm glad that you came here to tell your story about how you
don't
made
be
it.
Afraid.
And all the creative things you can do with your house to make it worth your while,
and it
while,
can make
you, know?
You money too.
Yeah.
Like you can rent out a room. I'm planning on, I want to add an ADU below my place, and then, you know,
generate
eventually I'll have another separate space, and then I want to buy a second home and then rent out the top and bottom half of my house and then buy a second home. So I'd like to buy more properties and start kind of, you know,
building an empire.
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't it kind of addictive once you sign that first loan, Knox? What do I buy next?
You're like, it's
what can
good.
We do?
Yeah, it's like, it just opens up so many different, like, ideas and pathways. And then you're like, oh, well, maybe let's buy a house together. You want it?
Sure.
Okay.
We need to buy something together, like a vacation something.
Yeah, vacation something.
Like a compound.
Something.
Yeah, didn't you do that?
I bought a vacation house in Big Bear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I've sold it since.
Yeah, I mean, you're always like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, moving money around.
Yeah.
Got robbed by a contractor. That was my reason for
selling
that one, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Lots of fun stories I have to tell.
And what about your house? I mean, you're new a homeowner as well. Let's hear about that.
There's not much to say about that, except that it took 2 years to finish, and it's been a process, and now I'm trying to figure out what to do with it.
So you guys did a full gut?
Yeah, it was an addition, and it was ridiculous. Now I recommend to far less people to do their own, to do the renovation. Now I'm like, buy the flip and do your thing, just where you can do it. But, you know, it's a process, especially in LA, because of the bureaucracy of the city, and the cost of materials and the cost of the contractors and the availability of them. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow. So anyway, yeah.
I don't think I realized you did an add-on too.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a lot. It was a
lot.
You
know, what she's saying is so true though about the contractors and the timeline and all that thing. It is so hard to find accountable contractors. It's like, I have clients who are like, why? They don't believe that flippers should make the money that flippers make.
Oh.
Like, they don't believe the flippers have earned that.
What?
Like, they're like, what did he buy it for? Okay, now I'm going to, like they're supposed to just, like, break even. And it's like, if you haven't been through that process, you don't understand the value of the time, the frustration, the change orders, everything that
carrying
costs you the
loan,
and
that's responsibility.
Carrying the loan, it's like they might have an extra $150,000 in loan fees once they're done with it. You know that the buyer's not accounting for.
Yeah,
That is my pet peeve when people try to, how much did they put into it? What did they buy it for? Well, maybe we can offer. No, that's not how this works. not how this works.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a whole new perspective now.
Oh my God. Honestly, total game changer. But I'm thankful for it because now I ask questions to people that I didn't ask before whenever recommending that. Like, what's your schedule like?
Yeah. Do you have a dog?
Yeah.
Do you have cash?
Do you have cash? Yeah. Like, can you stay in your rental for a certain amount of time while you're doing this project? Like, what's your scenario? You know, because it might not be the right fit for you to take on something. Hmm. You know, like buying the flip might make more sense. You know, and for some people, it's like they have more flexibility. They have a dad who's a contractor or like whatever. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, well, in that case, you know.
Yeah.
It's easier. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely, it's nothing to be fucked with if you don't have the stomach for it. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's true.
Whew. Yeah.
I did one also, and now it's coming around to the time when things are starting to break. Oh God. It's like every 5 minutes, like the heater's not working. The door, you know, we had $12,000 termite treatment done when I got the house. And now the last time I went there, I can see the termites have come back. Like, just like, it's like it never stops, you know? Yeah. But on the flip side, you have this thing that's just like, I think I bought that thing for 1.2. And now it's worth 2.
Yeah.
So it's not for nothing. And you want to keep, you know, yeah.
That's the benefit. I bought mine for my purchase price, believe it or not, this was like 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, was like $535.
Yeah. And insane. That thing's worth so much more.
Yeah, yeah. Now with the addition, it's probably more like a 1.3, 1.4 space. Yeah, but it's but it was a process. You know, it's like there is payoff, but not without
pain.
Yeah, a lot of pain.
You're not sure what you're gonna do. That are you not moving in? Are you gonna sell it?
Definitely not selling it. No, okay. For sure not. I'm gonna be one of those people who's like, don't knock on my door. You're dying here.
Well, go away.
I have an agent.
I'm a local. Even
you
hear
that thing
local.
Behind the door.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna have my blinds with the one hole in it and the gun in the right.
Yes. Oh no. Do not go knocking on her door.
Seriously, I need a little announcement thing on the end. Whenever people walk on the end. Oh my God, I saw the funniest video. It was like someone programmed Alexa to deter break-ins. Okay. And so it's like if let's say someone breaks in, you know, it's like all the lights, like the colored lights turn to red, and it's like, you have now activated, like, and then like something, you know, you have now activated, like, you know, like DEFCON 3 or I don't know, something like that. And then it's like, you have 3 seconds before you are annihilated. And then it's like 3, 2, and then like things are like going off, and it's like a whole thing. It's so funny.
That's genius.
So funny.
That is really smart.
Oh my God, that's so smart.
It makes Alexa work for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's funny because the city of Los Angeles has really competing objectives when it comes to ADUs and how you use your property. So on one hand, there's a housing shortage, so they've incentivized there are over-the-counter ADU plans and stuff to make it easier for people to convert their garages.
Yes.
So that is cool. Mm-hmm. Great. That saves a big step for a lot of people. You have to use their design if that's what you're going to do. But at least for people who aren't really designers or don't really care, like, you know, it gets the job done, you know? But then at the other hand, it's like the tenants' rights rules are also very stringent, and the Airbnb rules are kind of restrictive too. So, you know, I definitely would say, if you're going to do using real estate, if you're going to build your ADU and that kind of thing, you should be aware of those things, mm-hmm. research the laws, make sure you understand how things are rolling so you can do the best use for your property.
Yeah.
Because it's changing really fast. Like, things keep changing. Rules keep changing.
They do.
Then there are things outside of, you know, you can buy outside of the city of Los Angeles. You can buy in other counties. You can buy, you know, California state law has certain things now too, but you know, definitely you have to make sure that if you're going to do real estate with an investment kind of mind, that you're doing your research, because the laws seem to be changing a lot faster
Well, and that's why you have someone like you guys. Because you guys always know what's
top of things.
What the like latest and greatest is. And so like I would never do or even think about doing anything without consulting you and talking to you about it first. Well,
thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't know. I mean, like, by the way, our 10-year anniversary is coming up.
Ooh. Our 10-year anniversary of knowing each other?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You are so
Isn't
funny.
Isn't that crazy?
Maybe we should try to make a new reality television show.
I think so.
It's about
time. I think
time.
That's a good Let's anniversary present.
I love that.
Can you make some calls?
Yeah, make sure. A few calls. I know you have some pull now. Don't you have a production deal or something? Let's go.
We can't talk.
I don't like talking about that.
I don't like talking about myself.
You're talking about our business right now. Some business you're talking about.
Well, you're sitting on a hot seat, so.
Any other advice that you would give to somebody, you know, now that you've been through this process and you've used Break Up With Your Rental as a guide / you inspired it and you are quoted in it. But any other guidance as we wrap up?
I would tell people, like, if you want to own a home and that's something that like lives in your heart and like you have that desire, like open up the door to that, what that possibility looks like for you, instead of thinking like I did, which was like, oh, I'll never be able to afford to buy a home in Los Angeles, like I'll never be able to do X, Y, or Z, and like take that recording out of your head and go, okay, well, you know what are my possibilities of owning a home? What do I have to do in order to do that? And so I think just changing that loop in your head and go, you know what, I can own a home in LA, but what's the pathway to make that happen for me? And then that will start to emerge for you. So I think that's my greatest advice to people is like, stop telling yourself what you think and what other people tell you is possible, because, you know, I have multiple friends that all have homes now too, that thought the same way I did until I sat down and said, actually, you can own a home. Here's how you do it. You have to change your mentality and like, yeah, okay, I'm gonna get a little woo-woo, but yeah, law of attraction is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't putting it out there, you're not gonna get it. You're not gonna magically buy a house just because you know, you have to open the door. You have to go, okay, well, I have IRAs that I've been, you know, paying into since I was, you know, in my 20s or whatever. You can use that money to help you buy a house. Like, people don't know these things because people don't tell you. No one's out there like trying to help you buy a house. So, you know, there's other avenues to get there. And then I think also like just getting creative about it. Partnering up, friends, family, whatever, doing a co-loan, you know,
co-signing,
like,
yeah.
Co-signing, mm-hmm. Like there's a, like if it's a desire for you, it's in your heart, it's something you want, you can absolutely have it. There is no reason why you can't. And so that I think is what, you know, why I wanted to do this, because if I can inspire one person to like change their mindset and do this and like get to have this great experience that I get to have and like go out and like have your wild garden and whatever, and like every morning I go down there and I sit and I'm like send like gratitude, I always send you guys gratitude, you know, and just to get to live this life that I didn't think I could, and I was like stuck in my little apartment in Hollywood just so happy. Mm-hmm. You know, and
isn't
now I'm
funny?
Like
and you realize you deserve it too.
Absolutely.
You know, that adds something. I thought you were gonna say, what would Madonna do?
I mean, she's got plenty of houses.
Yes. But she wouldn't let any doubt hold her back.
Never.
Is what I'm saying.
This
never. Lady won't let any doubt hold her back. So.
Never. She's like, psh. But that's the thing. And that's like, and even just like tying it back to those A-list celebrities who are just flowing in life and they're like, all the doors open for them. Like, there's no reason why we can't be that too, you know? And it's just has to do with how we approach our life. Mm-hmm. And how do we, are we going to like go flow against the current? Are we going to constantly float, try to, you know, paddle upstream? Like, that's what people do. They're always upstream, upstream, upstream. Like, get in the boat and grab a beer and just kick back and like Let the river take you.
I love that there's beer in this boat.
Of course there is. Or wine. Probably wine for me, but you know, whatever you guys
We're all want, in that boat.
Yeah. I love that.
And just let it go. And like, but you have to get in the boat and open your beer. But you have to get in the boat to go downriver and stop fighting everything and just see where it goes. Open up the door.
That's an amazing way to wrap this segment. So, yay. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you guys
for having
me.
Oh, my God. Such a pleasure to hear your story.
I appreciate you guys so much. And I'll keep sending you more clients constantly.
Okay, we'll take them. We'll take them.
Always, always, always. You guys are the best.
All right. We'll see you next time on Under All is the Land.
Bye. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. Real estate.